Dear fellow children of God, living in his light, grace and peace to you, in the name of our Savior Jesus, amen. I know that some of you receive the Wells emails for devotions. Sometimes you can go online and get those same devotions, not the ones in meditations, but they're put out there online by the Wells. And there was an illustration that was contained in one recently, and so some of you who are reading those will have heard this illustration before, but I thought it was worth sharing it with the congregation. There was a man by the name of Adam Bloom who consented to take part in an experiment where he would be put in a bunker underground about the size of a prison cell. And the catch was this, is that he would have to do that for 2 days, just 2 days, but in total darkness, not a speck of light, nothing that would be light at all. And so he thought he had a busy life. How hard could that be, right? Couple of days, just chill for a while, he'd be fine. Well, he found out much differently. He found out that after a very short period of time, he became disoriented. He couldn't tell what time it was. He didn't know how long he had been asleep or awake. And then after a while, he started actually to hallucinate. He thought that he saw things in the dark moving around. And he became paranoid, too. He thought after a while, maybe the scientists who were conducting this experiment had forgot about him, were going to leave him there, and it became a nightmare for him. And so it was not something that he enjoyed doing, nor would he ever do it again. When we, our human race, fell into sin in this world, we put ourselves into deep spiritual darkness. And because of our separation from the light of God, our whole world became disoriented, filled with fear, not understanding who God was or what he had done for us, and it became a nightmare. But into this nightmare, into this dungeon of darkness, God sent his light. His name is Jesus. And as you know, Jesus lived his life in the perfect light, never once straying from what God demanded, and he actually went on the cross and at that time to a place called hell with the deepest darkness. And there he suffered that so that you and I would never, ever have to be in that darkness at all. This is actually what the Apostle Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 today. He's helping us understand the difference between the darkness that we were born with and came into this world with and the light that has been given to us by God's grace. When this universe was created, God said, "Let there be light. Let light shine out of darkness." And of course, because God said it, it happened. There was light. Light is this amazing thing. We say it's made of photons, and we don't even really know if it's particles or if it's a wave. It acts as both. We do know that it travels at 186,000 miles per second. And all these points of light are out there in the universe. And light keeps us alive in this world. A second time, figuratively speaking, God said, "Let there be light." And into this dark world of sin, God sent the light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And that light came to take us out of the darkness by forgiving our sins through his life and death. And a third time, figuratively speaking, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light when your parents brought you to the baptismal font. And the Holy Spirit worked powerfully through holy baptism to create this spark, this light of faith in your heart, that you might become one with God eternally, that you might be a child of God living in the light, who called you out of darkness, Peter said, into his wonderful light to put your trust in Christ Jesus alone. Paul says that God gives us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. In other words, he tells us that when we see Jesus through eyes of faith, we see God. We see who he is, we see what he's like, we see what he has done for us as well. And this is what the author of the letter to the Hebrews says, the Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. The Apostle Paul saw that light. The Apostle Paul saw that light on his trip to Damascus. He was walking along a road with some warrants to arrest Christians, to bring them back for trial and to persecute them. And then the resurrected, ascended Lord Jesus appeared to him in glory Paul saw the glory of his holiness, but he also saw the glory of his forgiving love. And Paul said it changed his heart forever, knowing that this holy God would be so merciful to him. And Paul said if his dark heart could be changed from unbelief to light of life, that he could do it for anybody in this world. Peter, James, and John saw the light. They saw the light when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration. And there they saw their Savior Jesus, and he was transformed. In other words, he was transfigured. He became bright as light and enveloped by this cloud. And they also saw the light of their future glory. As Jesus spoke with Moses and with Elijah and heard the voice of the Father, this was something they had to look forward to because they were getting a glimpse of the glory of heaven as well. You have seen the light. And all those who put their faith in Christ alone and not in the deeds of their own works and doings, they have seen the light too. And in fact, the truth is, you fellow Christians are the fulfillment of a prophecy. A prophecy that Isaiah spoke 700 years before Jesus, the light, ever came into the world, when he said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." And so every day we live under the protecting umbrella of the reassurance of Christ's presence with us, who said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That's you. You walk in the light. It is your gift, freely from God. But darkness still lurks. We look at ourselves on a daily basis and we see what's in our hearts and minds, and we see the darkness that is still there. The darkness of sin, the darkness of doubt. We also see it around us in the world. There is so much darkness. And so Paul says, if our gospel, this good news message of the light, is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. He talks here about the God of this age. Who's the God of this age? When you read it in the NIV, it's a small g, which indicates it's obviously not talking about the true God. As you look at other passages, it becomes very clear that the God of this age is Satan himself. It's that one that the Apostle Paul calls the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Satan is the old evil foe. He's the arch enemy of God. Satan is the one who is behind all of our bad words and thoughts and actions. Satan is the one who motivates all the horrible, ugly, terrible things that happen in this world, the abuses, the violence, the hatred, the murder, the things that turn our stomachs when we watch the news, and that should turn our stomachs when we even take a look at our own minds and thoughts. That's the God of this age. Someone once said that the devil has four servants, and they listed four statements or four attitudes that sometimes we have in our own lives that really serve God, or the devil, I should say, and not God. This is the first servant. There's no danger. Go ahead and do it because it's not really going to hurt you. There was an old song from years ago that some of you remember. I don't remember the name of the song, but the words of the song went like this: how can it be so wrong if it feels so right? So we're supposed to trust our emotions and our feelings, that if something feels right, we should just do it no matter what God says. Remember, God is the one who put his son on the cross and loved us enough to put his son to death for us. And so God is reminding us that we can trust him, that when he leads us with his word, that if he says something is not good for us or beneficial for other people, we can believe him because he has our best intentions in mind. He wants what's best for us. So, there is no danger. You know, the person who wrote that song was really the God of this age. Does the hen follow the fox? Does the lamb follow the wolf? They instinctively know that these are things that would hurt them. And you and I have been given new instincts by God because of the new creation that's been placed in us. And hopefully we're developing those things to say, this is not right, this is dangerous, it can hurt me. The second servant, I should say, of the devil is only this once. I'll just give it a try and I can walk away, no one will know. We've all, I hope, by this time in our lives realized that sin is intoxicating. It's an opioid. In other words, it sucks us in, it addicts us. And the devil knows exactly where to put the battering ram in our defenses. He knows where our weaknesses are, and he knows how to make those things work against us in our lives. And to say that only this once is not going to hurt somebody else is a fallacy. Think of those who have been hurt by infidelity in their marriage. It doesn't take more than once. And it changes your life forever. The third servant of Satan, everybody does it. We often think that there is safety in numbers. We think that if we go along with the crowd, we're going to be okay. So everybody else is doing it, and so I can do it too, and it'll be just fine. I remember my mom and dad saying to you, so if the whole village jumped off a cliff, would you do it too? We know that just because all sorts of people are involved in some kind of a sin doesn't mean that it's right for me to be involved in that sin or that God has changed his mind now because society has changed its ways. God is God, sin is sin. And he's not going to change, and his warnings are loving. That's why he gave us his commandments. Love is the fulfillment of the law. And then number four, I'll get around to it. I'll get around to it. You know, the old phrase is, the path to hell is paved with good intentions. We often think we have the right things in mind, and then we just kind of let it slide and never gets done. But God tells us in the Bible that sins of omission are just as damaging as sins of commission. In fact, he says anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. The God of this age is a God of procrastination. When it comes to Christians, he doesn't want us to use our time, our talents, our gifts, our treasures. He wants us to say, tomorrow's good enough, it'll get done then. And then, of course, it just doesn't. And this, fellow believers, is why we need Jesus. Because we live in a world that is steeped in sin and we have hearts that continue to have a relationship with the darkness. When he's talking here about how much the light of the world is needed in this world, he's not just talking about unbelievers, he's talking about us too. And how we need that light to be part of our lives as well. The God of this age, he says, is constantly attacking us, constantly trying to overwhelm us and destroy our faith. So Paul reminds us, God made his light shine in our hearts. Once again, the action. God made his light shine in our hearts. He started our faith, he gave us that faith, and he continues to protect that faith and strengthen that faith, and he gave us the tools to do that too. He didn't just leave us hanging and say, no, run along, little people, and take care of yourselves. He said, I give you my word, I give you my sacrament, and I will use this to keep you close to me and keep you strong. And when you fall, I will pick you up again, and I will give you the light of forgiveness as you live in this world. The God of this age, he is the monster who wants to cut that optic nerve, that spiritual optic nerve, so that we can't see Jesus and so that we don't see the gift of heaven that he has given to us. And it is light that repels darkness. When we have this word, this light from our Lord, we now can use it for ourselves and we can use it to give to other people. And this ultimately is what Paul is talking about here. The God of this age has blinded unbelievers. But you have the light. It is in you. And God says, you can share this light with others. Paul says, we don't preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. So you're not going out there saying, look at me and who I am. You're saying, look at Jesus and who he is. See the light. not only so that you can see the light, but that you can have the light, you can believe the light, you can live in that light for all eternity. God said, let light shine out of darkness. You are lights shining out there in the darkness. Let there be light. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep our hearts and minds.